Good morning. It's very good to be here, and I can honestly say that. My name is Kyle Good, my wife Lorene. We have three daughters, Taylor, Kristen, and Eliana. And we moved to the Kane area in 2008 with the intent to help with a church plant in the future somewhere. We didn't know where. And 2 years later, we had a total of four families living there. And so in 2010, June or July, we started our first service. So right about the same time, Dale, as you started here. A year later, I was ordained as the only pastor. And I remember going to the Keystone Ministers meeting, and Dale gets up and he tells about what's going on here at Shenandoah. And I'm like, well, that's really cool, because that's exactly what we're attempting to do in Kane. And at the same time, another church was started in Howard, a little church called Lakeside. And so we had like three brand new church plants in areas where there was minimal Anabaptist influence. And I was like, this is really cool. Like, this is God's kingdom. This is his work. This is amazing. And so, like, I'm like, well, sometime when I get a chance, I'm going to come visit Shenandoah. And like 11 years later, here I am, right? And Brian had to twist my arm. No, he didn't, actually. He's like, would you consider? I'm like, yes, I would like to come see you guys. So he's like, well, what would you preach? And I said yes. So here I am. As we were singing this morning, the last verse of the last song, it says, Holy Spirit, see our spirits long to worship Jesus. And I had to think, why am I here this morning? Am I here in God's house with God's people because I am longing to worship Jesus? Or because I grew up in a culture that goes to church Sunday morning, am I just at church because it's what we do at 9:30 on a Sunday morning? Do I long to know Jesus? Is that what I'm about? If I walked up to you after the service and I said, what are you about? What makes you tick? Would you tell me what your job is? What your occupation is? What your hobbies are? Or would you say, I'm a child of God and I want to know him better? Just a thought to get us thinking. As we think about, you can think about that. I saw there's a bunch of children here. Do you guys ever have children's meeting? Yeah? Would you care if we had a short children's meeting this morning? Would that be cool? All right, why don't you come up to the front bench, and I would like to talk to the children for a little bit. Wow, there's a lot more here than I thought. Squeeze in here. Front bench or second bench, whatever works. So when I was young,
couldn't wait until I was 12 years old. Do you know what I could do when I was 12 years old? I could go hunting. I wanted to go deer hunting with my father. I couldn't wait until I was 12. Then once I was 12, do you know how old I wanted to be? I wanted to be 16. Why did I want to be 16? So I could drive. Yeah, and then when I was 16, I wanted to be like 20 because I would be an adult, right? So, who wants to, what age are you? You're 7. Do you want to stay 7 all your life? Why not? You want to grow up, right? Yeah. See, growth is very, very important. You don't want, who has a baby brother or sister? Anyone have a baby brother? Do you want your baby brother or sister to stay a baby all their life? Why not? That would be weird. That would be weird. Who has a garden at home? Okay. What if those little corn plants only stayed that big? Would you eat sweet corn? No. We want our garden to grow, right? See, growth is very important. What about, let's see, is it Brandon? Bradley, I'm sorry. Okay. Bradley's 15, 16?
15.
You're 15. So, what if Bradley came in here and his dad carried him in? And he was still drinking a bottle and wearing diapers? No. No, we want Bradley to grow up and be able to take care of himself, right? That's very important. Do you know what the Bible says about Jesus? It says, Jesus grew in wisdom. He got smarter, so that's why we go to school. We learn stuff. So Jesus grew in wisdom, and he grew taller in stature and in favor with God and man. That means he grew physically. He grew spiritually. And so in our Christian lives, we don't want to stay little tiny baby Christians all our life, do we? No, we want to grow in our spiritual lives to know God. And sometimes growing is hard. You have to learn how to do stuff, right? Like, all kind of growth, like if you're walking, when you learn to walk, you fall down, right? And that hurts. But eventually, you learn to walk. Yeah. So when you learn to talk, you make mistakes. You don't say your words correctly. But eventually, you learn. And in our spiritual lives, we need to take steps so that we grow to know Jesus better. As we think about growing in our spiritual lives, do you know the song, Read Your Bible, Pray Every Day? Do you know it? Think we could sing that song? Do you sing it at this church? Read your Bible, pray. Do you sing that song? All right. Well, why don't we stand up? We sing this song at our church. Okay? And we're going to start with neglect your Bible, forget to pray. All right? And shrink, shrink, shrink. Is that okay? All right. Neglect your Bible, forget to pray, forget to pray, forget to pray. Neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink, 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 and you'll shrink, 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 and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. Neglect your Bible.
Read your Bible, pray.
Okay. All right.
So, when I was growing up, my parents did not give me allowance. If I wanted spending money, I had to work for it. And so my father, he grew up on a farm, and he thought work was important for young boys. And so when I was probably 8 or 10, he bought us some tomato plants, close-out tomato plants, and we plant them in the garden. And then my brother and I, we had a small produce stand, and we would go pick these tomatoes and sell tomatoes. And I remember, like, one summer, I personally made $50 selling tomatoes. Like, and that was good spending money back in those days. And so ever since that time, like, I've been kind of entrepreneurial, sort of came to it by default. Like, I look at a business and I'm like, wow, that business could grow if they did this. Or, well, that's a pretty cool business opportunity. I wonder what would happen. And my wife, she sort of gets to follow along on these plans that I have. And we raised dogs for a while. We had puppies, and I had a landscaping business. And then I tried my hand in this roofing business, and then I bought a pet food store. And so, like, business makes sense, right? The goal for business is profitability. And when I was about 12 years old, my father bought a feed mill in Lancaster County, just north of Terry Hill on 897. It's called Goods Feed Mill. He bought that feed mill from my great uncle, would have been my father's uncle. And the feed mill was sort of going downhill. It was, Uncle Harold was 83 when he retired, and he was out of steam. And so he wasn't pushing the business. The business was just something he did. And people would call and order feed, and he'd be like, sorry, we don't have that. He would hang up the phone. And, like, that's not a very good business model. So my father takes over, and, you know, he wants to grow this business. And so my father was aiming for profitability. So if profitability is here and you start out here, you need to start aiming for that mark. Does that make sense? You're aiming for profitability. Uncle Harold, he was just maintaining, but the line probably didn't look like that. The line probably looked more like that because we were losing a customer base because the business, there was no goal anymore for profitability. It was just maintenance. And so my father took over, and he made small adjustments. So you start out, you're aiming for there, but you've got to slowly make these adjustments that start going upward, if you follow. If you want to be profitable, you have to make changes back here. And it doesn't happen overnight. And so he would add a product or a service, and he would make a change so that we could be more productive. And slowly but surely, as the years passed, profitability went up. Where are you? Where am I in my spiritual life? You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I think I'm good if I'm just maintaining. Or I reach a certain plateau, and I look at the believers around me, and I feel pretty good about myself. But is my aim to know Jesus? Is that what I'm aiming for? And am I making the adjustments in my life and in my heart to keep that in focus? What should our aim be as believers in Jesus? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. We see Paul has a focus here. He has an aim. Just going to look at a few words here. Philippians 3, verse 10. Actually, in verse 8, he says, I count everything else as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. And so, then in verse 10, he says, this is what I'm aiming for. He says, that I may know him. So here's the question. One question is, what is your aim? Right? And my aim should be to know Jesus. What am I doing to get there? In business, we know what we need to do. It's pretty self-explanatory. We know what we need to do to be profitable. But what about our spiritual lives? I find my place sometimes where I'm just sort of happy with where I am. And a year goes by, and sure, I have my devotions, and I preach a bunch of messages, but, like, did I really get to know Jesus more? Or am I like my Uncle Harold and I'm just maintaining? See, you never are just maintaining. You don't ever find yourself up here at a certain level where you're just maintaining. A better illustration might be like this. Sometimes you see a growth cycle that goes like this. All right? And there's a book called The Pursuit of Prime. And prime is when your business is running along and everything is clicking. And, like, you're just experiencing this tremendous growth. That's prime. But what happens is when you hit prime, you can become lax. And you start to relax. And the next thing you know is you're plateaued. And if you're not careful, next thing you know, you're going downhill. And we see businesses happen like that all the time. A founder starts a business. His business is growing and growing and growing. And it's almost doing it by itself. The business is growing by itself. Maybe the second or third generation takes over, and they don't realize how much energy was put in down here. So they stop putting the energy into the business right here. Next thing you know, business plateaus. Before they know what happened, they're on a downhill trend. It can happen in our spiritual lives. If we're not making the adjustments back here to know Jesus more better and more fully, we can find ourselves on a downhill trend. We can find ourselves drifting away, and we wake up and we're like, how did we get here? What happened? So for a text this morning, turn with me to 2 Peter. For some reason I had my bookmark in 1 Peter. So let's start at verse 1. It says, Simon Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You see this? Everything is available to the Christian through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue. All right? So if you're wondering what you need to do back here to have a successful Christian life, it says that everything is available to us through the knowledge of him. So we need to get to know Jesus. Through the knowledge of him who has called us, whereby, verse 4, are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And so our Christian life needs to begin somewhere. It begins with faith in God, accepting that Jesus died for our sins, recognizing that we are sinners, and the only way to get to know God is to accept Jesus as that perfect sacrifice. Acknowledge our sin, accept Jesus, and our faith begins. And then we launch on this spiritual journey. So, verse 5, add to your faith virtue. So, we're going to add to faith, we're going to add virtue. What is virtue? Virtue is a moral standard. We are called not only to live a good moral life, a lot of people do that, but we are called as believers to live a holy life. It is possible to live a moral life without God, but it is not possible to live a holy life without the power of His Spirit inside of us. Beside all this, verse 5, beside this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue. We're supposed to do this diligently. So in business, we're diligent about the bottom line. We know what we're aiming for. So diligently, are we diligently trying to live a holy life? Are we getting rid of the sin that hides inside of our hearts? Of the thing that detracts from knowing Jesus? Add to your faith virtue. Then once you're living a holy life, add to your virtue knowledge. What is knowledge? The world seeks after knowledge. They want to know how things work. Science tries to figure out how. But as we look at the world around us, science figures out the how, but they don't figure out the why. Like, why God created us. So true knowledge comes from knowing the why. And the why is a heavenly Father who created us and loves us. Knowledge is awareness and familiarity gained by experience. Am I aware of the sin that I was saved from? Am I aware of what I'm leaving behind back here and what Jesus did for me? Am I adding knowledge? Am I spending time in God's Word to know how He wants me to live? Am I familiar with my Bible? Am I aware of my relationship with Jesus? Then once we are living right and we have the right mind, we are living right, we are thinking right, we're supposed to add temperance. Temperance is emotional restraint or self-control. Temperance. Emotional restraint or self-control. And so when a temptation comes up, we have the self-control to say, no, I'm no longer living here. I want to know Jesus, so I am going to say no to temptation. In the Greek, the word is egkrateria, meaning inner strength. So with the power of the Holy Spirit living inside me, I have the inner strength to say no to sin and temptation. As a boy, my mother was a tremendous cook. She loved to bake, and so we had cookies and baked goods at our house all the time. And there was really no limit on like how many cookies you could eat. Like, if they were there, you helped yourself. And My wife, on the other hand, she had a few brothers and sisters who were diabetic, and so sugar was kind of limited. And you learned self-control. You only took one, maybe two cookies at a time. And I actually believe that that lack of self-control that I had with eating baked goods carried over to a lack of temperance or self-control in my spiritual life. Like, if I saw a sin that felt good, why would I tell myself no? But here, if we want to know Jesus, we need to get rid of everything that gets in the way. We need to say no to sin. We need to develop an inner strength through the power of the Holy Spirit to stay on that path to know Jesus. What does it say? Add to knowledge temperance, verse 6, and to temperance patience. What is patience?
I'm going to run out of room here.
Patience is bearing pain or trials calmly without complaint. You see, as children, we grow. And if we want to walk, we fall down. And I'm sure little children, when they fall, as they learn to walk, they'll cry sometimes. But as we grow spiritually, we will face trials that aren't fun. Trials that are painful. I've faced trials in my life to where I questioned God. You know, I could stand up here and I could preach to you all and say, God is good, He is faithful. I've learned that since I was 3 years old. But when I faced a hardship and I had to put that faith into shoe leather and say that even though life isn't going like I think it should, I'm going to trust that God knows what He's doing. That was a trial. It was painful. But to have the patience to bear that calmly, like James 1:3 says, the trying of our faith works patience. Just like the trying of a little child to gain strength in his wobbly legs, like a Christian trying to gain strength in trusting God, in faith. Do I have patience to bear the trials that God lets come my way? Back to verse 6. We're supposed to add to temperance patience and to patience godliness. What is godliness? Godliness or God-likeness. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 4:8. Says this, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Godliness is profitable unto all things. To become more like our Savior. To become loving and kind and meek. Do I exercise this in my daily walk with the Lord? Do I ask Him to help me to become more like Him? Now I lost my space in 2 Peter. We're supposed to add to godliness brotherly kindness. What is brotherly kindness? Brotherly kindness is love for our Christian brothers and sisters and sisters. Own blood families, we have relationship struggles. And it happens. We're all human. We all make mistakes. We say things we shouldn't. Some of us say more things that we shouldn't than others. But just like a blood family, we love each other. In the body of Christ, we need to practice brotherly kindness and love. The witness of the church depends on our love for each other. Thinking of the verse that says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, by your love for one another." Does the town of Shenandoah see the love that you have here as a body of Christ? Our witness depends on it. Am I practicing brotherly kindness? Am I practicing brotherly love? Am I making the correct adjustments to know Jesus? And we're supposed to add, let's go see what it says here. Verse 7, "And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity," or love. We're supposed to add love. So this is like brotherly love, and this other love is agape love. This agape love is all-inclusive. It includes your neighbors who aren't Christian. It includes even our persecutors. Richard Wurmbrand, in his book, talks about love, the love he had for the people who persecuted him. That was an agape love, and I was thinking, wow, I don't know that I could love somebody who is torturing me. But as believers, he is calling us to this. If we are to know Jesus, if we want to aim for that relationship, we need to add these things to our spiritual life. Richard said about his persecutors, he said, "We had this understanding. While they were in prison, they would preach. And if they got caught preaching, they got tortured." He said, "We had this understanding. We would preach and they would torture us. And as soon as they were done torturing us, we would go back to our cell and we would start preaching again." But he talked of a deep love, an agape love, an all-inclusive love for everyone around him. Am I willing in my Christian life to make the necessary adjustments to know Jesus? So, what am I aiming for? And am I willing to adjust? A few years ago, I lent my deer rifle to a friend. And the next year, I had a really hard time zeroing it in. And then, don't you know, I had it all zeroed in, I thought. Opening day of deer season, I missed a deer. And it was close. And it was a really decent buck. And I couldn't believe it because I thought I had made the necessary adjustments. Turns out the scope may have been dropped, I don't know. And I had to send it back to the manufacturer to get fixed. And they made the necessary adjustments. And just last year, I got that scope zeroed in to where I was hitting like 3-inch square at 100 yards. I knew what I was aiming for. And when I saw a deer, I had perfect confidence that I could hit what I was aiming at. Am I in God's Word? Am I studying His Word? Am I studying His life, His teachings, so that I have no doubt in my mind that I'm making the necessary adjustments to hit my aim as a Christian? My father, in his business, he made the necessary adjustments to make that profitable. If you would have went into his place of business yesterday, you probably would have saw 20 cars there and about 5 cars leaving and 3 or 4 cars coming in at the same time. They have, instead of 3 people working there when he started, they probably have 10. He made the necessary adjustments to be profitable, and we understand that. But in our Christian lives, sometimes we think, oh, it'll happen. But if you let your child grow up and say, oh, it'll happen, you will have a very selfish individual who is fully grown, who doesn't have the correct training to be a profitable adult. Does that make sense? Same way in our Christian lives, we may become an aged Christian who is still carrying around a bottle, who is still back here at their beginning faith, not realizing we are called to become like Jesus. Let's look at verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall be neither barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to aim, we need to adjust, and we need to persevere. Persevere. Hope that's correct. So 1, 2, 3. He says, if these things, all these things are in your heart, if you are striving to do these things are abounding, you will neither be barren or unfruitful. The last thing I want when I get to heaven is for Jesus to say, depart from me, I never knew you. What am I aiming for? Am I willing to adjust? Am I willing to make the necessary changes? As I was pursuing a relationship with my girlfriend, I remember this. Before my first date, I went shopping and I spent a lot of money. Like, it was sort of drastic. Like, my brother said, you went from not caring what you wore to all of a sudden you had a brand new wardrobe. Like, I made adjustments because I was pursuing a relationship. And then I would adjust my schedule to see her. And then before long, I asked her to marry me and we rented a house and we made big adjustments because we were pursuing a relationship together. What kind of adjustments am I making in my spiritual life because I want to know Jesus? Some changes are drastic. I want to leave you with this question. Who shopped at Walmart this week? Anyone shop at Walmart? A few people. Who shopped at Kmart this week? Do you even have a Kmart here? No Kmart. Do you remember? Does anyone remember Kmart? A few people remember shopping at a Kmart. Okay. I was 4 years old in 1990, but in 1990, there was a company called Kmart, and there was a company called Walmart, and they were both at the exact same place financially. What happened? All right, we are 32 years later. Everybody knows who Walmart is. Our children will probably never know about Kmart. One company made the necessary changes. They knew what their goal was. The other company chose just to maintain. Things were going pretty smoothly, and they chose to maintain. 30 years later, they find their company dying. Their brand is obsolete. Is your spiritual life, are you growing or are you maintaining? As Paul ends this epistle, turn with me to the end of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. I'll let you with the same thing that Peter ends with here, I'm sorry. But grow. Right? We talked about growth in children's meeting. Grow. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right, grow. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have given us everything that we need to grow closer to you. Father, I pray for the church here at Shenandoah, Lord, that they could aim for a relationship with you, that they would grow in all of these things. Father, that they would be neither barren nor unfruitful, but that their lives would be fruitful and overflowing with your abundance through the power of your Spirit for your glory in your kingdom forever. Amen.